Hello again, and welcome back to the Ostrich Technique. Chris, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How about you, Anand?
Good. You know, this is a little bit different for us today because, you know, for 12 episodes and how many ever mini episodes, we've been doing Marvel podcasts, but this is now a little different. We're doing something not that is not Marvel, right, Chris?
Yeah, we're doing something super.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, for anyone that isn't aware, this weekend was the launch of the brand new DC Universe that's being helmed by James Gunn, and a movie that's being helmed by James Gunn, Superman. Big enough showing that, you know, Chris and I definitely wanted to talk about it. We just saw it yesterday, and we have, I think, a lot of thoughts on it, right, Chris?
That is correct.
Yeah. So let's just dive right into it, Chris. We don't want to leave them waiting any longer. Superman, directed by James Gunn, stars David Cornsweet, Rachel Brosnahan, Nicholas Holt, and a smattering of other side characters as well. What did you think, Chris?
I thought it was a good movie. I thought it was a very strong start to the DCU. I thought it was fun. It was definitely a lot more lighthearted, a little bit more campy, for sure, than the Zack Snyder, Henry Cavill version of Superman. I think it was a fresh take on the character and a little bit more true to the comics, in a sense.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think we need to start this off by saying this is a very specific take on Superman. This is not, and James Gunn in general has a very direct and like specific approach to storytelling and his movies that doesn't appeal to everyone. And I think we saw that with the Guardians movies, which are very, very James Gunn. And then Superman, which is also like a very specific take on Superman. I think we were talking about that yesterday. And some of the reviews that we also saw as we were debriefing said the same thing, that this is very much a style that is not going to work for everyone. And I think for me as well, this style did really work. And I think part of that is, you know, for me, I grew up on the Superman animated series cartoon. I grew up on all of like the DC animated universe. And that's something that really is close to my heart, like Batman the Animated Series, the Justice League cartoon. And those are really the versions of the heroes that I look to in DC. So this really felt like a manifestation of those Saturday morning cartoons, as well as like sort of comic books. And it brings that to the big screen because it's not really wasting any time with the origin story. It's not wasting any time with like sort of setting up the players. It sort of drops you right in the middle of it. Like it literally says in the beginning of the movie that you're coming right after a fight. And this is not a spoiler. This first part of it, like we do for all of our mini reviews, will not be spoilers, but I really like that. And I think another thing that's important, Chris, and I'm sure you'd agree, is to understand this within the context of where Superman is within the overall sort of public consciousness and understanding, because there's a TV show that they had, which I don't think anyone saw, the Superman show on the CW, which I've heard is actually pretty good. I don't know if you saw it. Did you, Chris?
I did not.
Okay. And neither did I. But this is, I mean, so the thing that people mostly will refer to is Henry Cavill Superman, which I, you know, from my take, he was a good Superman, right, Chris? I would say so.
Yeah, he was a good Superman. I think he was failed by the writing and just the style and the tone of what the character was for that universe.
Yeah, I think so too. So, I mean, he didn't really get a chance to be Superman. I mean, he was someone that like just got his bearings as Superman, Man of Steel, and destroyed half of Metropolis in the process of it. And then in Batman versus Superman, he's like this dark and brooding individual. And that's, you know, Snyder's take on him, which is really looking at like the super aspect of Superman. Almost like, I mean, basically he was a god. Whereas I think very intentionally, James Gunn focused on the human, the man side of Superman, which I think is what I really liked. I think that this is a Superman who is very flawed. And just like the movie, this is not a perfect movie. I don't think Chris and I would say that this is a 5-star movie, but he is a very complicated individual who's trying to do what's right and doesn't always do what's right. There's that scene in the trailer where he and Lois are having this argument about him just trying to save some lives. And Lois is like, yeah, but you didn't consider this and that and X and Y and Z. And he's like, people were just going to die. And I was just trying to do what's right. And that feels like a very sort of human response I mean, there's a whole monologue at the end where he talks about being human, and that's his strength. But I really liked all of those aspects. But I've gone on long enough, Chris. What are some other things that you maybe liked about this film?
I think the casting was very good.
Yes.
I think the three big characters in this film, I think, were casted well. I think the three of them have very good chemistry, in that mm-hmm. being Clark Kent, Lois Lane, and Lex Luthor. I think that, again, very different takes than the previous iterations that we got. And to your point, I felt like this was much more aligned with the animated series that, you know, we had growing up, and, you know, younger cast overall. I think it just overall, I'm going to say this a lot, it just really felt a lot fresher. It felt like things worked better because of the cast chemistry and just the way that they went about creating these characters.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I think to your chemistry point, the Lois and Clark relationship is particularly important. And there are different takes on that, where some of them are Lois kind of sees him as a nobody and doesn't really see him, and Clark is trying to get noticed by Lois. In this one, it's immediate that they are in a relationship. And I think that relationship, for me, it's very rare that I think that superhero relationships are in the movies are done well. And I think that this one, you really feel the chemistry, that you really feel that these two they love each other. And it's not even a perfect relationship, which I think made it more realistic as well. Like, they fight, they recognize each other's flaws. They recognize their own flaws, and they're like, maybe I'm not ready for this relationship. And I think that made it feel a lot more lived in, and it made it a lot more believable. But it made you more invested in him as well. And I really mm-hmm. liked that. To your point on Lex, I liked that this version of Lex was straight up evil. Like, this was not someone that was like trying to justify his actions, or, you know, trying to, like, this is not like Thanos trying to, like, you know, he's a justified right. I mean, you know, Lex has his own sort of perspective on it, but he toes this really fine line of being like almost cartoonishly evil, but at the same time, he is also pretty diabolical in some of the stuff that he does in this film. And I really like that. It really gave me shades of Clancy Brown's Lex in the Superman animated series. So I really like those. So definitely a good shout there, Chris. Anything else that you liked about this film, or that you want to discuss it?
I do feel like the Justice Gang mm-hmm. was a good addition. I think there were definitely standouts from there, but I think they added enough comic relief, but I don't think it was over the top, as well as them driving certain plot points. And I don't think they were dropped in there just for fan service purposes or to make you feel like this is a greater universe and we're just going to put them in for that reason. I think at least some of them really did serve a true purpose to this film mm-hmm. towards the plot. And I think overall it worked out well.
Yeah, I think for me, I would agree. I think the Justice Gang works very well. And I think they serve as almost a foil to Superman in terms of what he brings to, like, the superheroics aspect, where Superman is very earnest and hopeful about what he's trying to do. Like, he comes with this sort of big-eyed and optimistic perspective about what he's doing as a hero and how he can save humanity and save people. Whereas the Justice Gang represents an almost more jaded and cynical view of superheroics, where they're just there to sort of do a job. It's not, like, explicitly mentioned, but it does seem like they are funded by, what is it, Simon Stagg or Maxwell Lord?
Lord Tech.
Yeah, it's Lord Tech. Yeah, so they're basically funded by Maxwell Lord. So, you know, like, the corporatization of superheroes. So it's a very different take on it, on being a superhero with the Justice Gang versus Superman. And I think there's a specific scene where they sort of represent that a bit. And I really like that. And all of them, I think, played really well, but I think you and I would agree. The standout of the Justice Gang was Eddie Gathegi's Mr. Terrific.
Correct. Yep.
He was so good. And he definitely gets a scene to show. I mean, actually, all of them really get scenes to sort of have their moment throughout the film. So I think I really, really like that. I'll maybe go with something that I liked. I would say that I really liked the... this is a superhero movie, has action. I like the action in this movie. Mm-hmm. Action and the CGI. I think for the most part, both of those were really, really strong. Mm-hmm. I think they do some interesting things with Superman's flight and the way that they image Superman's flight, or like the way that they capture it on film, which is different than how they've done it before. And I think it really captures the speed, the blinding fast speed at which he flies or can fly, which is very different. I think that the Christopher Reeves take was very operatic and balletic. The way that he sort of flies, it's like very delicate and very cutesy and pretty, which is not a bad thing at all. I think there's a lot of charm, and it's very, very, it inspires, you know, sort of awe and wonder the way that he flies. And I don't know if there's maybe moments where you get that from this Superman, but it is, I think, more of a display of his power, the way that he flies. So I really like that. And the way that they use the flight in some of the fight sequences, I'm thinking specifically at the end, they show bits of Superman fighting in the baseball park. Mm-hmm. There's some interesting parts of it where he's using his flight, which I was actually quite interested by. And then again, the CG overall was really good. I mean, James Gunn seems to be taking this approach where they finish shooting a movie about a year before the movie actually comes out, and then give it time to actually work on the CG. And I think that that really shows. For the most part, almost all of the CG is really, really strong and doesn't really take me out of the movie. There's maybe one or two instances, but those are more, I guess, like stylistic choices rather than like the CG being bad. I don't know if you'd agree with that, Chris.
Yeah, I agree. I think for the most part, CG is pretty good in this movie. I mean, it's definitely better than a lot of the more recent Marvel movies. And to your point, it's probably a function of just giving the VFX artists more time to actually refine their visual effects.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, it's not like the visual effects artists are only working within that 1 year gap. They're obviously doing a lot of work before the movie comes out, but it is nice to see them being given the time to really show what they're made of, because, you know, it's not like they sort of solve CGI how many ever years ago when they did like Davy Jones and Pirates of the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. They have a lot more new tricks up their sleeve, and being able to show that is important. Let's maybe pivot to some things that we didn't like, Chris. I think I know you were maybe had a little bit more critiques about this movie than I did, but what are some things that stood out to you as things that you didn't like?
I think I wouldn't say didn't like, but my point of this film might be a little bit more divisive for casual fans versus more invested DC fans. James Gunn definitely creates this film with the assumption that you know certain things about Superman's lore or just the DC world in general. So as a casual fan, you may not know who Green Lantern is, or Hawkgirl, or Mr. Terrific. Maybe Green Lantern's not a great example, but Mr. Terrific or Hawkgirl, for example, who may not have been as popular as some of the more prominent Justice League members.
Mm-hmm.
Again, there's certain things about Clark's backstory, just, you know, our relationship to Lois Lane, his friends at the Daily Planet, that you, as a casual fan, may not know. And so that might confuse people, I would say, from the get-go, because you were kind of just dropped into this world and you kind of have to figure it out along the way. Whereas if you're somebody who knows DC in and out, or knows DC relatively well, I think you'll really appreciate what Gunn is doing and already having established these characters, and make it feel like these characters have established relationships before, or it really does feel like a lived-in world. So I think that's something that will polarize some people. For me, I wouldn't say I'm very invested in DC, but I also would say I'm not like super casual. So for me, it worked enough where I could understand what was going on and had some baseline level of who certain characters were. But I can see that being a critique for some people who may not be as familiar with the character or the world.
Yeah. And I think that that's a perfectly fair take. I mean, we literally said up front, this feels like a comic book or like a Saturday morning cartoon come to life. And I think for people who are not familiar with it, I think there are elements of this movie, and I totally agree, that will not sort of resonate with everyone, or they won't know that. But I think James Gunn knows that. I think he's coming at it from the perspective of it being a straight up comic book come to life. And he's, I think, said that in multiple interviews. He wanted this movie to be his way to bring a comic book to the big screen in as close a manner as possible. I think you would agree, though, that while there are parts of it which are very comic booky that we wouldn't, that maybe a casual viewer wouldn't understand, I think that the core story is still there that someone can, you know, attach to and relate to or get invested in, like this core story of Superman.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah. I think for me, one thing which was interesting, and it took a little bit of getting used to, I don't know if this is necessarily a critique, but I can see this as a critique for some people, and I have seen it in some of the reviews that I read, was the competing tones and the clashing tones in this movie. And I'm thinking of one specific scene with Lois and Superman in Superman's apartment. And I know you and I were talking about this yesterday, Chris. There is this really heartfelt conversation that is going on between Superman and Lois. But at the same time, there is a comedic element that is going on in the background. And it's played literally for comedy. And I know, I think you were saying, Chris, that it felt a little bit jarring and it took a little bit away from the emotionality of the conversation, which I can totally understand where you were coming from and where other people are coming from when they say that. I think for me, I didn't have a problem with it personally. I think that that is just James Gunn's style, but I can see how that, though, and this happens a lot in the movie. This is not just one instance that we're referring to. This is recurring thing throughout James Gunn's movies where there are these really sort of clashing themes. And I think that's his sort of style to keep you on your toes and not really sure where it's sort of going to go and engaged in the movie. But I think, like, again, it was fine for me, but I can see that it wouldn't be something that resonates with everyone just because it is a little bit off kilter and different. How about you, Chris? Any other thoughts or any sort of, I guess, final thoughts as we wrap up our non-spoiler section?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say my final critique would be that I would say a big part of Clark's character is that he has this second identity as like a reporter. And I know there's not a ton of Clark compared to Superman in this movie, but I think specifically with the reporter part, I felt like a lot of the Daily Planet, which, again, his occupation as his alter ego, is not really featured as much. I would say not him as a reporter, really. It's more just, hey, I did these interviews. Even with Lois, I feel like Lois, you know, just from knowing the character, she's, you know, supposed to be this, you know, Pulitzer winner. And I feel like we just don't really see a lot of reporting done.
Yeah.
In fact, you know, she gets out-reported by other characters, which I think is a bit comical. But I do feel like they had this whole gang of their Daily Planet group, and I felt like there really wasn't much for them to do. So, I don't know. I felt like I could have been more in that human world a little bit more, but also have seen them do actual reporting to make it feel a little bit more grounded within that world, or to display more of the Clark side of things.
Yeah, I think that that is actually a very fair critique. I think that the fact that they didn't really focus so much on the Clark side of things, they really focused on the Superman side of things, is, I think, something that can be explored more in a future film. I think that the Daily Planet stuff, they do kind of show some reporting. I mean, there's a whole plot line where at the end of it, they literally are publishing an article about something, but it doesn't really feel like we saw a lot of reporting on it, and especially not Lois doing the reporting. It was actually, it was more other people that did the reporting, yes. And Lois is sort of, I guess, tying it all together, being like, okay, great, let's ship it and send it or show it to Perry or whatever. So I don't think that they really did show that as much, Superman's alter ego. And I agree with you there. I think that that is something that they can explore more in a future film. And I hope that they do. Yeah. I mean, I think we can end at least the non-spoiler bit by, I think you and I would agree that this is certainly a very interesting film. And it is going to lead to a lot of discussion. Like, I think that this is a movie that people are going to engage with. This is not like, this doesn't feel like the slop fest that people usually bring up in terms of like superhero movies, yep. where it's like, oh, they're just throwing something on there and trying to see if people will be invested or like, it's just, you know, cape stuff. And at the very least, this is a very interesting movie that makes interesting choices and swings that, again, may not resonate with everyone, but is, I think, more interesting than any comic book movie we've seen in a while. Thunderbolts maybe notwithstanding.
Yeah, I think so. I'm trying to think. But yeah, I think overall, I would agree with those points. It's, again, it's a palate cleanser, and it's very refreshing in my opinion.
Yeah, and ultimately, I'm very interested to see where the DCU goes next. Would you agree with that?
Well, it's going to Supergirl next.
It is going to Supergirl next. but yeah. You know, I'm very interested to see what the yes. rest of the yes. universe holds.
Yes.
Which is the goal. Like, I think this is a strong start to the DC universe. And I cannot wait to see what comes next. Not Supergirl, notwithstanding. Actually, it's Peacemaker that comes next in the DC.
Yeah.
But
we're talking, if I'm talking feature films, then Supergirl.
Yeah, if you're talking feature films, it's Supergirl. But if you're talking actual next DCU project, it's Peacemaker. But yeah, I'm really excited about what comes next. But that is our non-spoiler section. Chris, we're going to move into spoilers now. Are you ready?
I am ready.
All right. You've been given the warning. We are now going to go into full spoilers here. So if you haven't seen the movie, I don't know what you're doing. Go out and watch Superman. This is a very interesting film. I think a lot of people are going to see it and, you know, come back and hear our thoughts after that. Or, you know, if you're a little bit crazy and want to hear our spoiler thoughts, then sure, stick around. We're going to give you a countdown. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Millie Alcock shows up at the end. Chris, spoiler thoughts. Let's dive in. Do you want to give any specifics to some of the points that you brought up earlier?
Sure. I guess just coming off the last critique that I had, I mean, Jimmy Olsen outdoes Lois as a reporter, which is yeah. hilarious. And on top of that, they make Jimmy Olsen a womanizer who ends up providing the most critical, incriminating evidence against Lex through a very, what you would think, inconsequential, ditzy girlfriend of Lex.
Yeah.
So it was a bit... That was funny. I did not think she'd be that critical to the plot.
Yeah, no, Jimmy the Riz God.
Yeah.
No, I think that that's really interesting. It's an interesting update to that trope of Jimmy Olsen sort of being like a sort of plucky sidekick of yeah. Superman wearing a bow tie. I do like the update that they gave him there. And yes, Eve Tessmacher being the woman who takes selfies and just sort of, like you said, being very ditzy in all of these sort of occasions, actually providing useful information is a hilarious sort of way to tie in what she's actually doing throughout the film. So yeah, well said there. I think one thing we didn't touch on, and they briefly show him in the trailer, so this is not really a spoiler, but I mean, we are in the spoiler section, is the Metamorpho character.
Mm-hmm.
Metamorpho, I mean, to your point about people who, like, casual viewers who will not know what Metamorpho or who Metamorpho is.
I mean, based on the first trailer, I didn't even realize that was Metamorpho.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Metamorpho, he is a very deep cut character for those who are not in the know. They did show him in the Justice League animated series for what it's worth.
It's the only reason I know who he was.
Yeah. But he has an important role in this movie.
Very.
Yeah. I mean, they literally say up front that there's no kryptonite on Earth anymore, which was an interesting take. You know, that is one of the things that everyone is always asking about when there's super villains fighting Superman. Why aren't they just using kryptonite? So mm-hmm. they sort of answer that early on. But then Metamorpho serves the role of being kryptonite to Superman, which is, I think, interesting. But he's also a way, I guess, another vehicle to demonstrate Superman's humanity, where even though he's being tortured by him, he's like, look, I'll help you out. I'll help save your kid, Joey. And to the point that we were making earlier about the CG, that's maybe the one aspect of the CG that didn't
work.
Yeah,
Joey.
Joey looked a little bit weird, but I think that that was more of a character design choice than a CG choice. But Metamorpho was great, and I think his power set looks really, really interesting and different than what it was in the show as well.
Yeah. It's almost like a Sandman Clayface sort of, I don't know, power set. Like, he can transform his form instead of just, I guess, metamorphosing or whatever the word
metamorphizing,
is. Yeah, into like specific materials or elements. So like, I did not expect him to be able to fly, but he could fly. So I thought he was a pretty interesting character. I thought he was one of the more consequential side characters along with Mr. Terrific.
Yeah, I would agree. I think he was really, really interesting. I think the way that they show his powers, I think what's really cool for me as someone who has been sort of languishing in DC's sort of malaise, where we really haven't gotten so many cool characters, I feel like kids are going to watch this movie, which I will say there are some dark parts of this movie that I don't know if every kid will be able to appreciate or understand. But for the kids who do get to see this movie, I think a lot of them are going to come out and find some sort of cool hero that they can latch themselves to that isn't necessarily Superman. I think some of them are going to latch themselves onto Hawkgirl. I think some of them are going to latch themselves onto Metamorpho. I think a lot of people are now going to know who Mr. Terrific is, which I think is really cool, or terrific, as you might say. But yeah, I think that he's done really, really well. And I'm curious to see where they go next with Metamorpho. And, you know, played very well by Anthony Carrigan, though we didn't really get to see too much of Metamorpho's personality, I would say. So
I would agree, but I didn't feel like I needed it.
Yeah. I think to the point of like, I think there's a lot in this movie. There's a lot.
It is. Yeah. It feels a little bit overstuffed.
Yeah. There's a lot that they're trying to do. I think in the effort of making this feel like a fully realized world, I was making the comparison to like Star Wars, almost the original Star Wars, A New Hope, where you're sort of just tossed into that world. And there's all of these different elements that George Lucas is throwing at you with stormtroopers and different aliens and like all of this stuff. Like, it feels like a lived in world. It feels like, I mean, they literally start off the movie by talking about how 3 centuries ago metahumans existed on this earth, or the first metahumans came to earth. So this is a world that has been dealing with and living with supernatural beings for a very long time. And if you feel that, you feel that this is a world that has all of these sort of things going on. It's not like where Superman pops up in a vacuum. Like, I guess sort of like the Marvel approach, where it feels like a superhero sort of pops up in a vacuum, and then they're sort of ingratiated into the larger superheroics world, per se. Like Shang-Chi, for example. Shang-Chi sort of pops up in his own world, and then he's sort of tied into the broader MCU at the end. And that doesn't feel like that in this DCU. Yeah, it feels like Superman is very much part of the tapestry of this world. And it doesn't make it hard to believe that there are other heroes that we are going to meet that are part of it. Like, say, you know, a man that wears a cowl and grimaces in the night or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that part I really liked. I think going back to the point about Superman feeling like a man, I think one of the things we were talking about was the fight that he and Lois have, which they show in the trailer of them having that sort of interview. I think what's interesting is I did not expect Lois to know that that was Clark's secret, especially with the time frame that they give, that he only revealed his identity 3 years ago as Superman, or like that he mm-hmm. or that he came to be Superman in the world. So I feel like that's a pretty interesting twist that they sort of get rid of that super identity aspect of it, where there's not this, I guess, will they, won't they aspect that the original Superman had between the, you know, Christopher Reeve's character and Margot Kidder's character. But I think at the same time, this is, I think that conversation in particular reflects Superman's human qualities, where he knows what he means to others. He, I think, understands the weight of that. And at the same time, he's still really struggling and he's still learning. And he's also naive about things at certain times, but he gets really frustrated in that fight. And I think that it's representative of, like, you know, just a human who's trying to do the right thing.
Yep.
So I think that is, and another part of that is, you know, the whole scene where he finds out that Lex took his dog. This is, I mean, that's the point where everyone is pretty against Superman. People don't really like him. They're, the public opinion has turned on him, and he's still going there and publicly, in a way, because he's being filmed by Eve, confronting Lex, and he's getting very mad that his dog has been stolen. And I think that that is as human a response as anywhere. Someone that you love or something that you love has been taken, and you don't really care about the consequences. You are just doing anything you can to try and find out what happened. So I really resonated with that representation of Superman, which is very different from Henry Cavill's Superman, which I think is like literally like a messianic figure in Zack Snyder's world, where he's portrayed as like the ultimate good, can do no wrong.
I mean, he should have killed Zod.
Yeah, he should have killed Zod, but like it's played off as, I mean, he does obviously struggle with it at the end.
Yeah.
That we're not going to relitigate the controversy around him killing Zod, but it's a very different approach, where that Superman felt less attainable, less. I mean, it's also interesting that they don't show Superman's physique as much. He's always in clothes or in his super suit, whereas, I mean,
there was always that shirtless scene.
Cavill, oh my God. Cavill's a specimen, man. He is so built, and it's almost intimidating how strong and super he looks. Whereas with David Cornsweet, I don't feel intimidated by him as Superman. Except for maybe that scene where he confronts Lex. Don't mess with a man and his dog. I think John Wick has taught us that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chris, what are some other thoughts maybe that you want to elaborate on or that we didn't talk about?
I would say, just to latch on to what you were saying, I think Cornsweet does a very good job of having that very boyish, Boy Scout sort of aspect of Superman or Clark Kent that we really did not get with Cavill.
No. And to be fair, Cavill didn't get that opportunity to, yes, really. But
yeah, I think that leads to Cornsweet really not feeling like, you know, this is an intimidating guy. Like, it is a very relatable Superman character of, this is a human, you know, he makes mistakes. He is trying to do what's right. I mean, you can see, like, in the film, all the Metropolis locals, you know him, or at least one of them happens to know them from a personal experience. And Superman, I guess, remembers him. I don't know if he was lying or not, but either way, like, he seems like a very relatable, approachable sort of character, which is very different than, again, what we saw in the DCEU with Zack Snyder.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess to your point there, Rip Molly, the falafel guy.
Yes.
Rip Molly, true hero making falafels for Superman. But yeah, I would agree. He is definitely someone that we can all relate to, which is a very different approach to Superman. But I think speaks to, it is a very specific take within Superman's, you know, comic run, because obviously the comics have represented all of those different shades of Superman, where he is a god. He isn't a god. He's a human. He's not a human. Like, I think that aspect of it is really fascinating. I think for me, I guess, kind of going back to your point about Molly, because, you know, he so unfortunately is killed in this movie, and that is in all part due to Lex's evil.
Yeah.
Lex, man. I mean, Nicholas Holt really puts on such a strong performance as Lex. And I said, it reminded me, in the non-spoiler section, it reminds me of Clancy Brown's evil take on Superman. And I think what I really liked about that, and they bring this up, is that he is smart, and he is very, very smart, but he is reckless with his intelligence. And I think that they show that multiple times, one with like those portals that he has constructed. And also the fact that, I mean, he's the one that literally is the cause of the kaiju showing up in Metropolis as well. I mean,
he incites a geopolitical war.
For his own benefit.
Yeah.
Yeah, literally. Which, I mean, also very interesting, the timing of that with what is going on in our real world today. It felt like it was a direct analog.
That storyline, to me, I was expecting to be just like, oh, it's like at the beginning, it starts things, whatever. But it is
central.
It is like the backbone of a lot of the plot for the entire film.
Yeah, and this is not a straightforward plot. Like, I mean, that whole plot sequence between Boravia and Jaharanpur is a level of complication and, like, I guess, complexity within a superhero film and politics within a superhero film that I don't think we've seen in a very long time. Like, this is a movie that is very overtly political, which is very interesting to see. Like, to see a movie actually have a take on something, which I think a lot of superhero movies nowadays are very, you know, sort of...
I feel like Captain America probably...
It's gotten closest the most, to it.
Yeah, from my Marvel perspective.
Yeah, I would say it got closest to it. Maybe Winter Soldier the most, and maybe also Civil War. But I would say beyond that, like, there is a level of, like, politics washing that the Marvel Cinematic Universe does and doesn't really get into all that much. It's usually a very sort of binary approach to government or politics where government good, government bad. And I think that this one, there's shades of, you know, complexity to it, which I really found fascinating. And, you know, that's another part where we're talking about where not everyone is going to agree with this take. You know, there's some conservative and liberal pundits who are on either sides of the spectrum here on mm-hmm. whether they liked or disliked this movie. But it is certainly a very interesting and unique take because I've never seen a superhero movie like this. It feels very different than anything that I've seen so far, which is hard to do considering we've been getting superhero movies now for so long. I mean, if you want to really trace it back to the Christopher Reeves version being like the sort of progenitor of all of this stuff. Yeah. Any other thoughts here, Chris?
I think I just have like two more thoughts before we wrap up. Sure. I think one quick one is Crypto, Superman's dog.
Yeah. How did we not mention Crypto?
I think Crypto is a fun addition. I think it really shows that Crypto really is just a dog that has superpowers. I think they portrayed Crypto really well.
Yes.
I think it goes back to James Gunn's affinity and love for animals.
Oh, for sure.
And I think it was fun to see Superman struggling to tame Crypto.
Yeah.
And I think this character is something that kids who go see this movie will very much enjoy.
Yeah. You do know that they will be selling a lot of Crypto plushies, yes. a lot of Crypto yep. toys, but he's also not there just to look cute. He does also serve a purpose in the story as well. Mm-hmm. Unlike, say, a baby Groot from Guardians yes, 2.
I agree.
There's definitely a purpose to him. But yeah, continue yep. with your second thought.
And then my final thought is a departure from a lot of the Superman media that we have gotten in the past, which is the reason that Superman is sent to Earth. It is
oh, yeah.
quite a twist where I guess normally what we have been fed through different films and television is that Superman has been sent to Earth by his parents and to be raised as a human to learn their ways and almost in a sense, I don't know, bridge the gap between the two and serve as like a protector. Whereas in this film, we actually find out that his parents sent him to Earth to basically be its conqueror or king or whatever you want to call it, and to almost like repopulate Krypton or spread the Kryptonian genes by like I guess, taking as many wives as he can, which is a very different take, I would say, than what we've gotten in the past.
Yeah. No, I think that was a very unique twist. I will say it is interesting that they leave that open. I feel like that aspect of it is unresolved and
yeah,
maybe they will go back and reveal that there was some manipulation or maybe that's yeah. not like the whole story or something or the other, because it is so different than what yeah. we have come to understand Jor-El and Lara. Yeah. yeah. That they are very, yeah. It doesn't have that sort of benevolence or mm-hmm. to their, I guess, motives that they normally do, where they're like, oh, we're trying to save you, son. Go be your own man. Krypton is done. Like, don't latch yourself onto Krypton anymore. So I think that that's very interesting. Also, as a side note, the concept of having to explain, I saw a Letterboxd review about this, but the concept of having to explain what a harem is to a child is kind of stupid and funny, but and they mentioned harem multiple times.
Yeah.
But anyway, that is a really interesting twist. And it's something that I don't think you or I saw coming at all.
Yeah, I didn't. And like you mentioned, we may not be getting the full story. This is only the first film. But, you know, it is mentioned multiple times that my ship as a, you know, as a baby was damaged in transit, which damaged the message. So I think, like you said, that damaging could have been interference or, you know, somebody like Brainiac, for example.
Oh, yeah.
Or like, you know, some sort of other bigger villain who had intercepted Superman's pod as a child, altered the message, damaged the message, whatever you want to call it. And then they can kind of almost in a way retcon of, oh, this was the true message. It was altered. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think also what this film does specifically with, you know, obviously Superman having biological parents versus his adoptive parents is very much nature versus nurture.
Yes.
Where Superman struggles with that aspect of, you know, he grew up this entire life not knowing the full message, but believing this based upon the first half of the message from Jor-El, his, you know, and his mom. This is what my biological parents wanted me to be. And at the end of the film, it's this is how I am because of the Kents who adopted mm-hmm. me and raised me. This is they taught me my humanity, not my biological parents. So I think that's a very good theme that they have, which I think was relatively subtle compared to the rest of the plot.
Yeah.
But I think they really do tie a nice bow around it from beginning to end.
I would agree. I think that they do a really good job there. And to your point, the scene that he has on the Kent farm, really, really great scene, especially his conversation with Pa Kent. I really, really enjoyed that. And it drives home exactly the point that you're talking about, that Superman is defined by his choices. You know, his parents could have, his biological parents, whatever, Jor-El and Lara Zor-El could have told him, you know, do all of that stuff. And Superman could have been like, I don't agree with that. I'm still going to do my own thing. He is very much defined by his own actions. You know, he's not his parents. And I think that that is a really important aspect of that character. I think, you know, to the point that we sort of wrapped up at the end, and I guess a way to wrap up this one, being excited about the future of DC, we do get that Supergirl cameo, mm-hmm. which is, you know, I think it was sort of expected. Like, you know, they did cast her before this movie came out, and she has finished filming, Emilia Alcock has finished filming her own film. Very interesting take on Supergirl, I will say.
Yes.
Not like the sort of, again, really saccharine and nice version of
her. Very party girl.
Yeah, very party girl. But I can see how this will tie into her, I guess, crossing paths with Lobo and Lobo being her villain. But it also makes me excited to see how Superman is going to be involved in that, or if he's going to leave his cousin to have to deal with her own consequences. But yeah, I think that this is a really interesting film that Chris, I feel like we could go on talking for another hour about this film, but this is, and we will probably, I mean, maybe at some point we'll do a full review style discussion like we do for our Marvel movies, but I am really excited to see where this goes next. Any other final thoughts here, Chris, before we wrap up?
No, I think we're good to wrap up.
All right. Well, that was our little mini episode of the Oscar Technique for Superman. If you like this video, or not a video, if you like this podcast, please be sure to like, rate, and subscribe to it wherever you listen to your podcasts, whether it's Apple Podcasts or Spotify or YouTube Music. If you have any thoughts or opinions or anything that you'd like to further your discussion with, you can leave us an email at our email address, ostrichtechnique@gmail.com. As you guys saw, we did post our Ant-Man episode recently, but we will be back very soon with a lot more episodes coming at you very soon. And we'll probably also be back for another mini episode for Fantastic Four later this month. So keep your eyes peeled for that. But until then, I've been Anunth.
And I've been Chris.
And we'll see you guys on the next one. Bye.